I'd like you now, please, to turn with me to a passage in God's Word in the New Testament, Luke and the chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 8. As you're turning to that portion, I'd like to welcome you afresh, especially those who are visiting with us. And we are delighted to have visitors today. May the Lord bless your heart as we gather for a season around His precious Word. The 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke contains for us one of the most familiar passages. It is the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus not only tells the parable, but as is so necessary, He explains the parable. How appropriate it is for us on this day in which we remember the Lord's mercy and bounty in giving to us a very fruitful harvest, that we consider what it is that the Lord has to say to us on this particular occasion, when He used the agricultural scene so familiar to the people of Israel and familiar enough to each and every one of us, no matter whether or not we have ever stood upon a farm. Because if we only owned as much as a flower pot and sowed a seed that would produce a flower, then we have seen at work the principles that the Savior here draws attention to. I'd like just to have you read with me just a few verses. Follow as I read from verse 9. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "What might this parable be?" What might this parable be? You know, the plainest of truths do need explaining to us, because we are so slow when it comes to taking in the truths of God. These were men ever so familiar with the sower at work in his field, but they didn't see the spiritual application the Savior was making of that scene, and they had to have it explained to them. Now, you and I are so familiar with this parable, we might somewhat be amazed that those men needed such an explanation. But please, I don't know if you can cast your mind back to the very first time you heard the parable. If you can, you'll remember that really it made no more sense to you on the first occasion of you hearing it than it did to these men. And if you have gained some knowledge of what it was the Savior was saying and meaning, then it is the result of having the parable explained to you on many occasions. Well, the Savior is always ready to explain His Word. And He says to them, without a rebuke, without a word of rebuke, such as perhaps we might say, "Do you not understand what I said? How can you be so silly and dumb?" No, there was none of that. But rather, He said unto them, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. They were most enthusiastic in their hearing and their apparent welcoming of what it is they heard. But it was a very shallow affair. They had no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation, fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. We will end our reading there, knowing God will bless His word to our hearts. Could I ask you, please, just to join with me in a brief word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we do not exceed in grace. We do not excel, O God, in knowledge. We are not superior, O God, by nature to these men. And likewise, we need a word of instruction, a word of enlightenment. And I pray, O God, that Thou wilt come and by Thy Holy Spirit teach us today and cause the word of God to be applied to hearts in accordance with Thy divine wisdom and will and power. O God, bless us in this season around Your word, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The parable of the sower is reported more frequently in the Gospels than most of the parables. It's one of the very few that appears in three of the Gospels. The things that it refers to are happening in every congregation today where the Word of God is faithfully preached. This pastoral scene of a sower going forth to sow the seed, and the various types of ground upon which some of the seeds fall, is enacted in every place where God's word is preached. It will happen here today. It will happen here today. And as we're listening, I trust that you will honestly study God's word and decide just what sort of ground your heart is represented by. And if there is in you this taking of root, this growing, and this bringing forth of fruit. There are wonderful parables given us in God's word that underscore the parallel between events in the physical world and events in the spiritual realm. I have often, in my preaching, said to folks that God has given us the gospel in His word, in its fullness. But He also gives us a shadow of it in the physical realm around us. And that's why the Lord Jesus could so often refer to events in the physical world and say, there you see the gospel illustrated. Isn't it marvelous that man is so determined not to see God and not to see His truth illustrated in the physical realm, but rather has devised all manner and fashion of philosophies and views and theories that run quite contrary to what is taught in the Word of God. But there is an echo. There is a substantiation. There is an endorsement of the gospel message given us in the physical realm. And nothing shows this more clearly than the parable that is before us. This parable has within it a very strong caution. We didn't quite read as far as the caution, but let me read it to you now. It's the verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed how ye hear. It's important how you hear God's word. It's important how you listen to God's word. The reception that you give to God's word is an important matter. I feel it the duty of preachers to preach in such a fashion as much as lies within them to engage the thoughts of those who listen to them. A preacher is not doing his job if he just gets up and mumbles his way through a message, no matter how orthodox that message may be. He must present God's word with a heartfelt anxiety and desire to make sure that it's getting into the heart of each and every one that listens. I always think of what I read concerning the great evangelistic preacher George Whitefield. He was preaching one afternoon in the vicinity of Philadelphia, and it was summertime. Now, I've been in Philadelphia in the summertime, And I can somewhat understand and sympathize with the problem he was encountering. Because you see, the folk were sitting there, and these are days when there was no air conditioning, and they were, some of them anyway, succumbing to sleep and to weariness. And they were nodding off. And the great preacher could see this, and it would appear that for a short time he tolerated this drowsy spirit. But then he stopped, and he stamped his foot on the ground as hard as he could. And of course the change in pattern somewhat made everybody sit up and wonder what it was that had taken place. And he said, "If I were but telling you something which I had invented, I would allow you to sleep. But I will not have you sleep, but I proclaim the word of God." He was a man driven, you see, by an anxious desire to see to it that the seed was falling on the ground and given every chance to root. How important that is, my friend. How important that is. And preachers, and mind you, we're seriously limited, and some of us are more limited than others, when it comes to seeking to grasp the attention of people. What is really needed is the grace and power of the Holy Ghost to stir hearts and minds, and I trust that there will be, even here today, that stirring. Take heed how you hear. And I say to each one here, the youngest here, I say, take heed. Take heed how you hear. This is the word of the Lord. It is not to be ignored or treated lightly. Listen, and listen well. The verse that I want to draw your attention to today, with a few thoughts, is that of verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Could I first of all point out to you the important role the word of God has in the salvation of sinners? The seed was sown, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The word of God is essential. It is central. It is vital in the work of seeing the sinner saved. It's here called a seed. And just as there can be no harvest in the fields without the sowing of a seed, so there can be no salvation wrought in the heart and the life of the sinner without the word of God. I have heard some say that in these days the preacher needs more than the gospel to see anything done. He needs to have some additional resources that he can use in order to accomplish something for God. For the gospel's not enough. My dear friend, that is a blasphemy. Though it is often spoken by those who would shudder at the thought of blaspheming. There is nothing additional that can be added to the gospel. It is the seed. It is the seed. And it contains life, spiritual life, for the sinner. We read in Acts chapter 16, the verse 14, of a woman, Lydia. We might well call her the first European convert to the gospel that we know of. And we read that Lydia listened to Paul preach. And as she listened, God opened her heart so that she attended unto the things spoken by him. And if ever you had an agricultural scene replicated, there it was. God opened her heart. He plowed a furrow in her heart so that her heart received the word of God. And as a result, she was saved. She was converted. She was brought to Christ. The graces of the gospel will not spring up in the heart of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl naturally. It won't happen without the intervention of the sowing of the seed of the gospel. That's what's needed. That's what's needed. Now, there's no doubt that the human heart can bring forth a harvest, but it'll not bring forth a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of holiness, but rather, as Paul explains to us in Galatians and the chapter 5, this is what will spring from the heart. Here's what the heart will produce. Chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's the harvest that springs from the natural heart. And you could wait 1,000 years, and human nature will never bring forth holiness, will never bring forth purity. And it doesn't matter in what circumstances you set the human heart. It will still bring forth those sins and those unrighteousnesses, because it needs the introduction of the Word of God to bring forth a harvest of righteousness. As with all seed, there is a season for sowing. You can't go out and sow seed in the fields, no matter how well you've plowed them and prepared them, and expect growth. If you're going out at that season, which is not the season of growth. So it is with the gospel sowing. So it is with the gospel sowing. There are times when to sow the seed is to lose the seed. There are occasions, you know, in the gospels when the Lord Jesus was silent. Men asked him questions, men pressed upon him, and he didn't answer them. He knew by their attitude, he knew by their heart, for he knoweth all things, that if he were to speak the gospel, he would be casting pearls before swine. That's why you and I, Christian, need to pray that God will give us a season suited to sowing. Suited to sowing. You know, many churches today, seeing the lack of harvest, seeing the lack of success, are intent on changing the seed. Something wrong with the seed, they say. We've got to change the seed. And we find just such changes taking place. We have contemporary worship brought in. A new approach to the whole business of telling men and women about God. It's not working, but... Oh, it's not working, my friend. This contemporary scene is not producing blessing and revival and conversions and holiness. In fact, it's but spreading the very opposite. There's a new level of complacency, a new level of indifference, a new level of casualness toward God. No, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed, my friend. What we ought to be doing in these days is getting on our knees and praying that God would send us a season suited to the sowing of the Word of God. That God would send us a breaking up of the ground. Send us showers of blessing that will produce harvest. This is what we need. This is what we need. There's a right season for sowing. Oh, I know the preacher can never say, well, it's not the time to preach, so I'll stop. No, we must sow in season and out of season. But when it's out of season, as it were, we must be ever praying that God will bring it into season. When we feel the winter time blasts blowing through the churches, it's not a time to stop preaching. No, preach on, but pray God will send a summer season of blessing. That's what you and I need to be praying for today. That's what's needed in the church today. When people are casting around for a new approach and a new way of doing things, and how can we get folk interested? Don't abandon God's means, God's methodology. but rather let's hear what God says and pray that He will send us a season of blessing, a season of growth, a season of revival. It is a wonderful mercy to have the seed of God's word sown in your heart. Many are brought up in homes where they are brought along to hear the word of God. I often wonder, do children realize the mercy they are enjoying? The mercy they are enjoying. They may look out and see their neighbors and their friends in the street in which they live, and as they're getting ready to go to church, there they are out playing, skateboarding, street hockey, heading off to fish while they're going to church. And they may be tempted to envy those who are thus pursuing their own devices on the Lord's Day. But let me tell you, it's a mercy to be brought along to hear the word of God taught and the seed of God's word sown in your heart. May God be pleased. May God be pleased to cause the seed to spring up in hearts of young ones. Could I secondly point out to you that an opportunity is given to all who hear the gospel to get saved. All who hear the gospel have an opportunity to get saved. Our text shows that, I do believe. Let's read it again. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil certainly believes that every time someone hears the gospel, there's a possibility of them getting saved. There's an opportunity for them to get saved. And so he attempts to seize the word of God in order to stop those who hear the word of God getting saved. Sometimes, you know, the devil seems to display a greater understanding and a greater regard for the gospel than many of God's people. What we read here in verse 12 is repeated in a slightly different fashion in 2 Corinthians, the chapter 4. Very familiar verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here's the devil's work. In our text, it's likened unto the bird seizing the seed. That's so. Here, the work of the devil is that of blinding the minds of them who hear the word of God, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them, and they should be saved. It shows the devil recognizing the wondrous, glorious potential when the word of God comes into contact with the sinner. If there's anyone here today and you're not saved, then let me tell you this. Never again will you be able to say, I never had a chance. Never again. Irrespective of what you do with God's word today, you will throughout eternity recognize that here is an opportunity for me to get saved. Here is an opportunity for me to get right with God. Oh, my friend, recognize this truth today. Recognize this truth today. Whenever the gospel falls upon the ear of a sinner, a door of opportunity opens. This the devil knows, for he seizes the seed, if he can, in order to shut that door and take away that opportunity. Let me just note with you, in this parable, the procedures by which the sowing of the seed results in the sinner's healing. It's to be seen in the process of the sower of the seed out in the field. Three words underscore this process. The first one is given in the verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let me point out the word here. They heard the word. They heard the word. The word of the gospel came to them, not just as a sound, not just as a series of sentences, but it came to them as a message that they understood, that they grasped intellectually, recognized what it was that was being said. They perceived what it is that God was saying. When they heard God saying they were sinners, they understood that. They felt that word. They felt that word. When they heard in the message that Jesus Christ had died on the cross as the sin bearer, they grasped that. They understood that. They saw that. When they heard that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, they grasped that. They perceived that by trusting in Christ, I can be saved. My sins will be forgiven. They heard. They heard. There's many a thing you and I hear and we don't quite understand. It's on the fringes of our hearing range, as it were. We turn to others. Did you hear that? What was it? Oh, we heard the sound, but we didn't quite grasp what it was all about. I've often been in airports and on comes the loudspeaker. And you don't know if you've just been told that the aircraft that you were supposed to be on is on its way without you. Because there's that much noise going on. This is how it is with me. Others might perfectly understand it. There's that much noise going on. The thing is so garbled. You don't know what's being said. That's how some hear the gospel. Only they're not hearing it. Those who hear it understand. Grasp, registers with them what it is that God's saying. But that verse 15 goes on. It says, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. Having heard with the understanding, they lay hold upon it. They catch hold of it. They do not let it slip from their grasp. They recognize the value of what it is they have just heard, and they seize upon it. They seize upon it. That's what happens, you see, when seed is sown in the field. If it's to grow, the ground must seize upon it. It must be covered over. It must be clasped to the bosom of the earth if it's to grow. And if it's clasped to the bosom of the earth and covered over, the fowls of the air can't take it away. Have you done that with God's word? Have you embraced it within your heart? Have you? One other little phrase in verse 15, completes the sequence. Heard the word, keep it, and bring forth. Bring forth. Where there is an embracing of God's word, a believing of it, then there is a growing. Then there is a harvest springs up. A harvest springs up. They keep it, and it brings forth fruit with patience. Oh, my dear friend, is that closing sequence seen in your heart and life? Is there the bringing forth? Is there the bringing forth? Oh, how glorious is God's way of salvation. One other thing I want to press upon you. It is this sequence that the devil wishes to stop. Back to our text, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The Savior had used in his original parable in the verse 5, he used the image of the birds. The fowls of the air devoured it. You know, I have often wondered, as I saw ploughing in my own country, who told the birds? Who told the birds? There wasn't a bird to be seen before the ploughing began, but there's hardly a turning of the furrow until they're from everywhere. Now, back home, seagulls used to particularly flock to the field where the ploughing was taking place. There were other birds, I'm sure, but they were lost in the flock of seagulls. Your eye was focused on them. They seemed to predominate in the field. But you wouldn't have seen the seagull in the air before the ploughing had begun. I don't know what sort of a system they operate, but boy, it's pretty efficient. For they're there within minutes, and there in their hundreds. How efficient the devil is at seeking to hinder the gospel. Seeking to hinder you getting saved. As I've said, the devil is acquainted with the gospel's potential. He knows what can happen. He knows what can happen. He has no doubts that if this seed that's being sown, though men despise it, he doesn't. Let me tell you this. He might encourage men to despise the gospel and make light of the gospel, but he doesn't. He doesn't. Of course, that makes him the deceiver in chief. He causes men to embrace that which he himself doesn't believe. You know, the devil encourages atheism. He encourages men not to believe in God, but he doesn't believe atheism. He's not an atheist. James tells us that the devil believes and trembles. Well, they believe in God, all right. Though they encourage men not to believe in God. And they encourage men to despise the gospel as a silly, foolish, out-of-date, irrelevant, old message. But he doesn't believe it. He knows that no matter how poor may be the gifts of the preacher and how feeble his presentation, if he's preaching that seed, then souls will get saved. And he moves to stop that. He acts very swiftly. I've already commented there upon the terrible state of things in the world. And it is, of course, an evidence of how swiftly the devil acts. How swiftly the devil acts. The Savior likens them unto the birds. I've mentioned how quickly they assemble. As soon as the seed falls, the devil attacks. The devil or his agents. He can't be in every place, but his agents are at work. He's represented by fowls, the fowls of the air. We'll not take a long time on that point, but isn't that interesting? The fowls of the air. The vulture. The vulture of unclean thoughts can steal away the gospel. The hawks. The eagles that swiftly strike, so with swiftness the seed can be taken away. Diversions. You know, the pickpocket who wants to steal what you have in your pockets will first of all divert your attention. He will get you focused on something else just for a moment while he relieves you of your watch or your wallet or whatever. But he needs that diversion. So the devil works. So the devil works. Mums and dads and grandas and grannies have a habit when sitting beside their children in the church service of, if they think there's not attention being paid, do you know what they're doing? They're trying to save you from being diverted from God's truth. Get your mind back again on what's being said. We could explore that further, but we leave it there. The hard heart. Of course, makes it easy. In this verse 12, our text, the wayside is spoken of in verse 5 as that which is trodden down. That which has had much traffic on it and it's trodden down. So there the seed is lying on the surface. Easy to get it. Easy to get it. Hasn't disappeared into a crevice as it would in a ploughed field that's sitting on the surface. How many a young heart today has been trodden down by television, by all sorts of worldly games, Youngsters spend so much today, so much time today before screens, television screens and gaming consoles. Their minds are trodden down, hardened. That much passing through, traffic trampling over, there's no place for the Word of God to find a lodging place. How is it with your heart today? Is it soft towards God's Word? Is there a welcome being given to God's truth? Is there an embracing of it? I trust there is. Dear Christian, if the Word of God today has brought home to you the needs of others, maybe loved ones and friends, then what we need to do, you and me, what we need to do is pray for that ploughing, that breaking, that moisture from heaven to make the ground ready for the seed, and pray against the powers of darkness that would rob our loved ones of God's truth. May the Lord have mercy and bless His word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we ask Thee now to bless Your word. O God, the arm of the sower might not be strong, but Lord, let there have been some scattering today. And may the seed be preserved from the attack of the devil, and may it bring forth fruit unto life eternal. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.